Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Frank Moss, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Passport Services at the Department of State. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Albert.
And joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Bonnie Glick. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Frank, please tell us about the mission of the Bureau of Consular Affairs and its role within the Department of State.
Thanks. It's a great question, Albert. Consular Affairs really has several missions for the Department of State. One is we're responsible for the protection and related services to American citizens as they live and travel abroad. For example, if someone gives birth to a baby, we provide services in terms of what's called a consular report of birth abroad. If, unfortunately, they're the victim of an emergency, tragedy, airplane crash, tsunami, what have you, we're also involved in the provision of services in those cases for our first mission. Second mission we have is we're responsible for the adjudication of visas for persons seeking to visit the United States for short periods of time or to immigrate here. In a given year, we adjudicate about 6 million visas for non-immigrant visitors, and another 500,000 or so Americans receive services to us in terms of supporting immigration by spouses, loved ones, what have you. And then the third mission, and the one that I'm most directly involved with, is the provision of consular services through the passport function to American citizens wishing to travel abroad. We will do, in fiscal year 2005, about 10 million passport applications. We're looking to do and issue about 12 million new passports next year.
Can you please share with us a little bit more about the mission of your office in Passport Services?
Sure. Passport Services, as I said, is responsible for issuing passports to American citizens. And what we're doing right now, we're engaged in a dynamic change to the way we do our business. First is the demand for our services is increasing dramatically. Just 2 years ago, we did about 7 million passport applications in a given year. Last year, it was about 8.8 million. This year, it'll be over 10 million. And we're looking at numbers ranging as high as 17 million by 2008. What we see happening are several things. First of all, there is more international travel by American citizens. Another factor at work in terms of demand for services is that some Americans are acquiring passports not for international travel but simply as portable proof of nationality and identity. You can go out to Reagan National Airport and see someone getting on a plane for Chicago. When asked to produce identification, they'll pull out their tourist passport. Third function clearly that we're dealing with is the requirement under the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act for documentation to be improved for American citizens traveling to the Caribbean, Canada, and Mexico. And the final point that we have at work is simply that there are more American citizens. Our population is now up to 294 million, and there are many more people naturalizing, and they in turn too often seek a passport within just a matter of days or weeks after their naturalization.
Frank, please describe for us the size, budget, and employee skills at the Consular Affairs at Passport Services.
Passport Services is one of the largest operating units, not just within Consular Affairs, but within the Department of State itself. We'll soon have just over 1,000 government employees on hand. And what those people do for me is they're responsible for the management of the function as well as the adjudication of passport applications. They handle what are considered the inherently governmental functions. The second part of our staffing is contract staff. We have about 800 people who work for us spread throughout our network of 16 passport agencies, and they're responsible for the support services. The third element of our function is what we call acceptance agents. Now, these are not Department of State employees, but these are local post offices, clerks of court, public libraries, about 7,000 places around the United States where an American citizen can apply for a passport. In terms of funding, we will be about a $300 million a year program in fiscal year 2006 and about $400 million in fiscal year 2007. The dramatic increase is driven by two factors. One is, as I said earlier, demand for services is increasing, but also during 2006, we'll be transitioning from our traditional paper-based passport to one that includes electronic features and, in particular, an integrated circuit to which we will write biometric information. The cost of that integrated circuit alone is driving up our overall budget considerably. As for skills, most of the people we're now hiring, we're hiring using outstanding scholar programs, managed by the Office of Personnel Management and by the Department of State as new employees, college graduates with a fairly high-level GPA. We also have contract staff who have somewhat different skill levels. But what we're certainly involved with is a continuous investment in our personnel because we want to make certain that our process works the same in Seattle as it does in Miami, the same qualifications to our employees, the same training, and really the same method of adjudicating a passport, so we're certain of the integrity of our system throughout its national reach.
Frank, I'd like to ask a follow-up question. You talked about the 7,000 places where people can apply for a passport. I'm assuming some of those are government offices, others are post offices. What are some other places?
Well, you've actually touched on the two most important. The biggest single group of them are United States Postal Service facilities. You can go to our website at travel.state.gov, click on passport, ask where do I apply for a passport, plug in your zip code. It'll tell you where every passport acceptance agent is within 10 miles of you, 25 miles, 50 miles, what have you, depending on where you live in the United States. Others are clerks of court. We also have some universities that do it, some public libraries, and a couple of other various arrangements. What we are trying to do also is to ensure, though, that the places we select as acceptance agents do not involve themselves in other aspects of the business. For example, we depend upon birth certificates as a critical element of determining whether someone is a citizen or not. So we're trying to avoid situations where, for example, a vital statistics registrar could both be a passport acceptance agent and be issuing birth certificates. We think that's probably a route we don't want to go towards. We're always looking to expand our network of passport acceptance agents. And we're certainly doing that in terms of our Western Hemisphere initiative, where we know we will have significant numbers of passport applicants from areas where perhaps in the past passport demand has not been as heavy as it has been in other parts of the United States.
Can you tell us a little bit about your specific responsibilities as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Consular Affairs in Passport Services?
Thanks, Bonnie, for the question. What I try and see myself as and what I try and do in my job is I try and provide strategic direction to passport services. I have to admit, I've never adjudicated a passport application in my life, and I'll also tell my friends on the visa side of the house, I've never adjudicated a visa application. What I have is some broad-based management training in the department, some education, a graduate school at Syracuse University, another graduate degree from the National Defense University system here in Washington. But basically what it is trying to provide strategic direction, trying to provide management to the big overarching projects, and then let my staff, who are very, very capable, deal with many of the day-to-day issues. So, for example, I'm deeply involved in our electronic passport program, our passport card, our Western Hemisphere initiative, some other aspects of our job, labor union management issues. I really look to other members of my staff to take care of for us.
You've had a fascinating career in government and in the NGO community. Can you tell us a little bit about what your previous experiences were before you became Deputy Assistant Secretary?
Sure. Maybe the real issue is I have trouble keeping a job or something like that. But I've worked for the State Department for over 30 years now. And during that time, my career has covered a variety of issues. I started off doing budget and resource planning, which has actually been a very valuable tool to have throughout my career. I spent about 8 years doing refugee management work, including about 5 years overseas. Spent a couple of years on loan from the State Department to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees working in Pakistan. And then I subsequently served back for the State Department as the refugee coordinator in Khartoum, Sudan. In the late 80s and early 90s, I spent most of that time in the Office of the Coordinator for Counterterrorism, worked with some great people like Jerry Bremer, who I think many of you know from his experiences in Iraq, handled counterterrorism initiatives, deeply involved in matters like the Pan Am 103 investigation, other acts of international terrorism, hostage matters at that time. In 1993-94, I spent a year in graduate school at the Industrial College of the Armed Forces over at Fort McNair here in Washington. When I came back from the department a few months later, I was asked to come and help manage the department's first border security program set up after the first World Trade Center bombing. That was in the Bureau of Consular Affairs. Have been there basically since early 1995 until now, and have had a variety of jobs in there, doing the border security portfolio, some issues dealing with common border issues with Canada and Mexico. Then I was the executive director of the Bureau for about 4 years, which is our senior administrative job. And then for the last 2.5 years, I've been the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Passport Services. And basically what I see it is an opportunity where I acquired some skills early on my career, was willing to be mobile, and have tried to use those skills throughout the rest of my career as building blocks.
Frank, you mentioned that budget and resource planning was a critical skill and experience that you had in your career. How do you apply your past experiences in your current role as Deputy Assistant Secretary?
Probably to our budget managers in the Bureau, probably too extensively. No, I actually am personally interested in the budget process. And clearly, as in any government entity, money is what we really need to make things happen, hire people, hire contractors, what have you. So I take a deep interest in the budget process. I think I understand it rather well. And then really going back to my experience in managing the border security program, I've been deeply involved in the evolution of consular affairs and passport services from being an appropriations-funded operation to one that is funded using fee-based revenues. We started with a machine-readable visa fee in the mid-1990s. Since then, we've added a number of other fees, most recently a passport security surcharge. So what we have to look at is not just our financial needs, but also our projected revenue from those needs. In some respects, working as a senior manager, in consular affairs has many traits and experiences similar to those of my private sector colleagues here at the table. We really are interested in both what's going out as well as what is coming in.
Great. How are passports changing to improve security? We will ask Deputy Assistant Secretary Frank Moss to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.